fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. And happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Malawi, where the Africa Cup of Nations football trophy was on display this week to help promote next year's tournament in Cameroon. Joining us now from Blantyre, Malawi, is Lamech Masina. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. There was a pomp and jubilation here in Blantyre, where the Africa Cup of Nations trophy was paraded this week around Malawi's capital. Scores of fans rushed to get a close glimpse of the gold trophy. They cheered and whistled as the motorcade passed by. The parade was sponsored by Total Energies, which is also an official sponsor of the Nations Cup. To help promote the tournament, the company is conducting events in 18 African countries that have qualified for the 2022 competition in Cameroon. The street parade was followed by an evening cocktail event where Malawi soccer officials expressed hope for Malawi to win the cup. Rosina Gazembe is a board member of National Council of Sports in Malawi.
The presence of the trophy today, which is a historic event never before seen in Malawi, makes me proud as council the achievement that our fine young men have accomplished. It is my hope that this moment makes us reflective as a country of how much more we can achieve in the field of sports.
Gazembe says the event gives hope for Malawi to lift the cup.
I believe the presence of the trophy here at this event will also light a fire in the bellies of the flames and will provide the necessary push for them to strive hard in Cameroon to bring the trophy home. I would like to encourage the Flames to prepare the best way they can so that they may win the trophy with the support from government and the Football Association of Malawi.
This is the third time Malawi has made it to the AFCON finals, with the previous experiences in 1984 and 2010. Malawi is in Group B, along with Senegal, Guinea, and Zimbabwe. Walter Nyamilandu is the president of Football Association of Malawi.
We're in a tough group, but we're very confident that we can do better. Our team has improved tremendously. You have seen that we're able to withstand the biggest teams on the continent, and we have a unique way of playing football. We borrow our philosophy from Barcelona. We keep the ball as much as possible and knock on the door as much as possible. And I believe we'll be able to find a winning formula that will make Malawians very happy.
Meke Mwase is the coach for Malawi's national football team, popularly known as the Flames. He comments on the team's preparations.
One of the preparations that we are doing is the ones that we are now in the World Cup. We're remaining with two games, but I hope the management as well is preparing for us to go for a training program somewhere.
Meanwhile, soccer fans in Malawi say that they expect nothing less than the Flames to return home with the trophy. One of them is Kaira Suti.
The advice that I could give is that they should just bring that trophy back home. We are waiting for that trophy, and we will be behind them, supporting them, encouraging them, and they know that the whole nation is standing behind them.
The Africa Cup of Nations trophy left Malawi on Wednesday. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Lamech Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamech. The Flames of Malawi will go against Guinea in their opening Nations Cup match on January 10th, 2022 in Bafoussam, Cameroon. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon will host the Stallions of Burkina Faso on January 9th in Yaoundé in the first match of the Nations Cup tournament. One top official who I'm sure will have a special seat in Cameroon is Patrice Motsepe, the president of the Confederation of African Football. The CAF president recently completed a two-day visit to Ghana. Joining us now from Ghana's capital, Accra, is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The arrival of the CAF president to Ghana has coincided with the two-year anniversary of the Kete Okeke-led administration at the Ghana Football Association. Patrice Motsepe was met at the Football Association Secretariat by a cultural troupe and the ever-present Ghana Supporters Union. Ghana has always been a football nation, one that has produced many great footballers and has given the continent a lot to boast of in football. A fact the CAF president alluded to.
When you came to South Africa, Ghana was not just playing for the people of Ghana, they were playing for the people of Africa. I was saying jokingly, they were saying at the end of the, when the World Cup ended in 2010 in South Africa, they said they were going to ask the Minister of Defense of South Africa not to allow Suarez to leave, to leave the country, because that was a clear, clear goal. If there was VAR or VAR, the referee would have said, no penalty, it's a goal.
A decision to host the World Cup every 2 years has been tabled by FIFA, and it is one that has been vilified and backed in equal measure. Many claim it leaves little room for players to have enough rest time, while others claim that if an event as big as the World Cup is hosted that frequently, it will only trump other sports. But what does the CAF president think?
The world has to change. You've got 1.3 billion people in Africa. Some of the rules in football are rules which were made many, many years ago. And we have a duty, and I have a duty, to engage with the leadership of football throughout the world to make sure that the number of African clubs, African nations in the World Cup increases significantly. And that's why as well, the World Cup every 2 years will allow many other countries, give them an opportunity to host the World Cup. One of the biggest beneficiaries of a World Cup every 2 years is football in the developing world. And Africa will benefit immensely. And I'll go further and say, in my view, the World Cup every 2 years will also benefit Europe. The World Cup every 2 years will also benefit the other continents.
Money is a major issue for African football teams. The CAF Champions League has provided very little in terms of financial aid for clubs that play in it, and that in effect has affected many clubs on the continent. In a bid to make the situation better, Motsepe says his administration has proposed a Super League for the continent. But after it was mooted in Europe and largely pilloried, why does he think it is a grand plan for African football?
We are learning from some of the things that they did in Europe, which was not correct. And that is, you should get every nation that is, even those that may not have a club, they've got to be part of the discussions, they've got to give their input, they've got to understand why we want the Super League. They should give us their comments. I'm clear in my mind. Very, very clear. African football needs resources. It needs financial resources. It needs infrastructure. One of the most important tools we have is new competitions. So I just want to say to you that we will make, there's discussions underway, there's consultation, and at the right time, when we have heard everybody's input and everybody's advice, including the potential sponsors, the TVs, and those countries that may not be involved, we will make an appropriate announcement. So it's a short to medium term strategy we have there.
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Now let's go to Nigeria, where the country's national men's football team, the Super Eagles, currently tops its World Cup qualifying group with 9 points from 4 matches. Cape Verde has 7 points, followed by Central African Republic with 4 points and Liberia with 3 points. The Super Eagles will play Liberia on the road and Cape Verde at home next month. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Nigeria Football Federation Technical Committee member Paul Bassey said he's confident the Super Eagles will advance to the final stage of African World Cup qualifying.
They'll make it. Sometimes I wonder why they shouldn't. Most times we make it not because we prepared well. We make it not because we have a good coach. We make it because we have an array of stars that in a minute or two could turn a match around, you know, due to individual skill, individual opportunities, and so we can convert. We are always in a group where we should qualify with 2-3 matches to spare. With due respect to the teams that they put in our groups, we shouldn't be suffering. This question should not have arisen. You should be able to qualify in such a way that maybe your last 2 matches, you could use them to aerate, to give opportunities to those home-based stars that people even believe are not good enough. But unfortunately, every time we have to suffer, we have to struggle, eventually we qualify. But at the end of the day, when you so qualify, when you get to the big stage, that is where you suffer. That's where you don't progress, because enough foundation was not put in place, enough coaching was not done. You know, the array of stars were not galvanized into a team. So that is always the problem that we have.
We have Liberia to play away. We have Cape Verde to play at home in November. How do you see these 2 matches, starting with Liberia, then later Cape Verde?
I don't want to sound disrespectful. When you talk about football in Africa, when you talk about football in the world, you shouldn't mention Liberia. You shouldn't mention Cape Verde. But that is, like I said earlier, that is where we have found ourselves. Liberia, we should beat home and away. Cape Verde, we should beat home and away. That is what should happen. I don't know why we should be struggling, but I'm very confident that because of the array of stars that we have, when we're along the line, it's a 90th minute, 90th minute, 50th minute, we'll just score that old goal, we'll see us through. But after then, we are bound to suffer, because we now come face to face with the football playing nations. We now come face to face with tough position. And since the foundation was not good enough, the house may crumble.
And why do you say so? Why are you trying to imply that it might be difficult for the Super Eagles when they now go for the group stages, for the final qualifying matches?
If we struggle in the group that has Liberia, if we struggle in the group that has Cape Verde, you can imagine what happens to us when we get to the tougher groups, when we play among the powerhouses of African football, the Algerians of this world, the Cameroonians, the Ivorians, the Egyptians, and so on, the Tunisians. That is my fear. We should be able to have a team that would put Liberia and Cape Verde aside. 5-0, 4-0, whatever. And people say, there are no more minnows in football. Why shouldn't they be? Why should that gap be broken? Are we just standing still for those people to come and meet us? So that's my challenge. And I've always believed, it's a personal view, that the coach we have in the Super Eagles today is not the coach that is worth Nigeria. You know, it's been all this every time after a match, I hear that Nigeria is a work in progress. For how long? You know, who qualifies, Mike? Who qualifies? I don't have any fears about that. What happens tomorrow is what I do not know, since I'm not God.
That's Paul Bassey, a member of the Nigeria Football Federation's technical committee, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Paul Bassey, technical committee member of the NFF, chairman of Akwa United Football Club. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis, moderator for Issues in the News. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including reaction from across the political spectrum to former U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell's death. Democrats and Republicans alike lauded the four-star general as a giant of public service and an American hero. Join us for Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Kim. Samson Omale joins us now with another spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We'll begin the wrap of African sports highlight for this weekend with the preparations for the burial of top Kenyan athlete Agnes Tirop, who was killed last week. She's expected to be buried at her rural home in Chesnut in Nandi County on Saturday, which coincidentally happens to be her birthday. She will have been 25 years old. The funeral committee, comprising representatives from Athletics Kenya, Nandi County government and family, have all concluded the burial arrangements. The autopsy, which was conducted on Tuesday, revealed that the athlete died as a result of forced trauma and stab wounds to her neck. Staying in Kenya, the 2022 Commonwealth Games baton will arrive in Kenya on November the 1st, 2021, for a three-day stay as part of the popularization of the games that bring together former British colonies. The baton's relay marks the beginning of the build-up to the 2022 games and will see the National Olympic Committee of Kenya be its host and will attempt to use the opportunity to showcase the country's unique futures. The baton, which tours a total of 54 Commonwealth countries, carries a message from the Games head Queen Elizabeth II. Humphrey Kayange is the National Olympic Committee of Kenya Athletes Representatives and the Baton Relay Project Manager.
Our theme this year for the Commonwealth Games is youth, inclusion and environmental sustainability. So we're planning to have a lot of activities around these three theme areas. And we hope that Kenyans will join in and celebrate the journey towards the Commonwealth Games. The Commonwealth Games are happening next year in July, end of July to August. And we really hope it's another opportunity for Kenyan athletes to go out there and represent the country and give the best.
In cricket news, Namibia's cricketers made history with their first ever World Cup win when they beat the Netherlands by 6 wickets to the T20 World Cup in Abu Dhabi on Wednesday. They had to dig deep in the match that went down to the wire, but a brilliant innings by David Wasey, who scored 66 not out, took them to victory as they reached the target of 166 for 4 wickets with 6 balls to spare. Namibia won the toss and sent the Netherlands in to bat, who got off to a quick start with Max Oz, Dawn and Steven Maboa putting on 42 of only 6 overs.
Sporty greetings. I'm Arun Okori, Nigerian professional table tennis player, presently playing for Ronsprudel Fudal Mabase Club of Germany. You're listening to the Sony Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
Africa's number one table tennis player and current world number 16, Nigeria's Aruna Quadri, has launched a table tennis sports club and academy. The sports club and academy is aimed at developing the next set of Nigerian stars who will future brightly for the continent and for the rest of the world. Aruna Quadri used the formal launch of the table tennis sports club and academy to stage a one-day Aruna Invitational Cadet Table Tennis Championship.
It's about table tennis for all. You know, we want to give opportunity to all kind of table tennis players, cadet, junior, senior, and our fathers and our mothers, because we realize sport is an important factor to improve their health. So it is very important for them also to be keeping active so that they don't get sick. You know, they will be strong and strong, agile. And for cadet, we really want to discover more talent. We want to bring in more important tournaments to Nigeria. Like starting from January next year, we really want to introduce a table tennis league here in Nigeria, whereby we'll be playing every month for at least 6 months. out of a year.
In football news, 85 goals were scored in the first 19 fully contested matches in the first leg of the first qualifying round of the Total Women's African Cup of Nations Morocco 2022. 8 home wins were recorded, 4 9 away wins and 2 draws. Sao Tome versus Togo's game is scheduled for October the 22nd. Nigeria made a bright start to their quest to qualify for the tournament after a 2-0 victory over internal rivals Ghana in Lagos. With a first leg advantage victory, Nigeria recorded their 11th win over their West African rivals in 18 meetings and will aim to consolidate on their home lead to ensure their passage to the next round.
Sporty greetings. This is Randy Waldrum, coach of the Super Falcons of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Nigeria women's coach Randy Waldrum believes his side can still do better despite a 2-0 victory over ARC rivals Ghana in the second leg of the competition.
I mean, the expectation is to win. You know, that's what we're always expecting to do. And I'm looking just for a really good performance. You know, I know it's an important two legs, not just one. We've watched a lot of video on Ghana, and obviously we have a lot of respect for them and what they do. And, you know, we'll be prepared.
For their part, Ghana's coach Mercy Tago Kwarko's ladies will hope to overturn the 2-goal deficit in the return leg at Accra Sports Stadium on Sunday.
The Nigerians are stronger and tougher than we are. But when it comes to intelligence, we are far, far away ahead of them. But, you know, when you are playing away games, it's not easy. So we are going back to the drawing board. We'll be waiting for you to correct our mistakes.
Staying with the women's qualifiers, one of the high-scoring games was one that involved Kenya and South Sudan at the Nyayo National Stadium. The Harambee Stars of Kenya were going to this weekend's second leg, having an 8-0 advantage. As Charles Okere, Harambee Stars coach, explains, they took the game very seriously.
Going forward, I think we still need more time, of course, with the girls. They should play as many matches as possible. Moving forward, there was some laxity in our game. So a slow passing, no quick movement. So it's something that we have to work.
South Sudan's coach, Shilin Boysen, admitted that her inexperienced side came up against a superior opposition.
If you look at our team, they still struggling to find their feet. They are a new team that has just been brought together like maybe 5 months ago. And for the last 2 months, maybe we've trained together. So I think it's going to take a while for us to get to the point where we need to be.
The game between Algeria and Sudan appears to be a done deal ahead of the second leg, as Algeria handed Doubleton Sudan a tough start to their first ever appearance in the Total African Women's Cup of Nations qualifiers after hitting 14 goals past the Sudanese on Wednesday. The heavy win thrusts Algeria in an advantageous position ahead of visiting Sudan for their round's second leg at Al Hilal Stadium in Omdurman next Tuesday. Staying with football news, the president of the continent's football governing body has expressed confidence that Ghana national male football team, the Black Stars, has got the potentials to rule the world. CAF president Patrice Motsepe, who is on the two-day working visit to the West African nation, believes Ghana is capable of winning the World Cup at senior level. Despite successes at age grade competition, the West Africans have only qualified for the Senior World Cup on 3 occasions, with their best performance being a quarterfinal finish at the 2010 edition in South Africa.
Ghana can win the World Cup, the World Cup. And there are other countries in Africa that can compete. And we want them also to challenge and win the World Cup. So if you put Ghana and Nigeria and Cameroon and Ivory Coast and Senegal and say compete, you are taking four of my... Let me tell you one thing. I'd like to see Germany, I want France, I want Italy, I want England in one group. And I want one of them to go and the others must fail. So the same applies to the women's football. I must say, I am so proud. Somebody was saying to me, look out, the women of Africa may win the World Cup quicker than the men of Africa.
And now to the latest FIFA rankings, where African nations have shown contrasting movement in the October rankings released by the World Football Governing Body, FIFA. Senegal, who have already qualified for the playoff round of the World Cup, are currently ranked first in Africa with 1,564 points, followed in second place by Tunisia's Carthage Eagles, who dropped 1 point to occupy the second spot in Africa, but 27th globally.
Morocco is in third place after moving up four places to seat 29, overleaping Algeria, who remained 30th and 4th in Africa. Genro's Super Eagles of Nigeria retained 5th position on the continent and 36th globally.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with another extra spicy African sports package. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. VOA's Gwen Uden joins us now with an update on South Africa's most decorated Olympian, the swimmer Chad Leklo. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Earlier this month in Berlin, Chad Leklo won gold in the 200-meter butterfly and captured his 146th World Cup title. The medal could be viewed as vindication after coming up empty-handed at last summer's Tokyo Games, where he finished fifth in the 200-meter butterfly final and failed to qualify for the 100-meter butterfly. But last August, Leklo told Reuters News, lessons were learned from his last Olympic run in Tokyo.
I was a little sad not to get on the podium, obviously, because, you know, I'd worked really hard for this and, you know, things happen. Tough year for everyone, but I take it on the chin. I take the responsibility. There's no problem, you know, this will make me stronger.
Leklo famously won gold at the London Olympics in 2012 when he defeated American world record holder Michael Phelps in the 200-meter butterfly. He also won silver in the 100-meter butterfly at those games. He collected two more silver medals 4 years later in Rio. Leklo began on a high at this year's games in Tokyo when the star swimmer represented South Africa as the flag bearer at opening ceremony. But any hopes of adding to his medals were dashed when he failed to reach the podium in either of his signature 100 or 200-meter butterfly events. Leklo said the lead-up to the games had been particularly tough. South Africa was one of the hardest-hit countries in Africa during the coronavirus pandemic, and Leklo lost his uncle to COVID-19 just before Christmas last year. And while he doesn't make excuses for his performance in Tokyo, Leklo admitted the past year had taken its toll.
This year, I think for everybody, if I can say it, you know, it's been very tough for me in particular, but you know, sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, when the history books are written, they don't talk about the bad stuff that happened to individual people. They just see the results. They see the medals. So my journey's been unique. I haven't had an easy journey from day one. You know, I came from a little kid in Pantan, you know, to the great heights of London Olympics and the ups and downs of Rio and, of course, Tokyo now. But, you know, I think all these experiences has changed me, you know. It's made me a different man than I was even 5 years ago. You know, I have a different perspective.
Leklo has not said whether or not he will appear at the 2024 Paris Olympics, but at age 29, he does plan to continue his legacy, both in and out of the pool.
You know, my legacy is not just about Olympics, it's about everything else, you know. It's about how you carry yourself outside the pool for the next generation, you know. When I started my foundation, the Chad Leklo Foundation, a year ago, it was made to inspire kids, to put them through, you know, help them have a better opportunity, especially in swimming and in sports, than maybe I did and Cameron did, and to show that you can do it from back home, you know. So, you know, my journey is not just about maybe winning gold medals now, you know. I've seen that it branches off in different directions, but I don't want to jinx anything, but I can stand here from, you know, not in the greatest place, you know, but I still believe that I'll be a champion again one day.
And with his record 146th World Cup title, Leklo further extends his lead on the list of all-time swimming World Cup victories. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. An update now on the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Atlanta Braves Thursday 11-2 with Dodger Chris Taylor delivering a memorable performance. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
It was an unforgettable night for Chris Taylor, smashing three home runs in the Dodgers' 11-2 win over the Braves. Taylor becomes just the 11th player ever to hit three homers in a playoff game.
It's definitely a surreal feeling for me. You know, I never thought I was going to
hit three homers in a game, let alone a postseason game. Still hasn't really sunk in.
Taylor had six RBIs and A.J. Pollock hit two homers and drove in four. It was a bullpen game for the Dodgers as seven relievers combined to five hit the Braves. The series now goes back to Atlanta for game six on Saturday. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. The Braves lead the Dodgers 3-2 in the National League Championship Series. And that wraps up the October 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.